بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على شرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد،
We started with saying I will not allow what is not in my control to prevent me from doing what is in my control. And I said to you that if you have a problem, the way you define that problem determines whether you can solve it or you can't solve it. Many of us define the problem in global terms. Can I solve the problem of the homeless people in this country? Can I solve the problem of illiteracy in, say, India? Short answer, no. Because you might say, well, I'm one person. How can I solve the problem of homeless people in this country? At best, I can give you some advice. Give money, don't give money, do this, don't do that, what not. Does that solve the problem? No. It doesn't solve anything. You give me some philosophical advice. What will I do then? I want you to solve the... How will you solve it? You can't solve it because it's... But if I tell you, can you find a home for one homeless person? Can you do that? Can you do something to ensure that one person, not two people, one single person, pick anybody you like, one person... You take that person under your wing, you make sure that person can go to work, finds work, does work, and has a home. Can you do that with one individual? What's the answer? Of course. Yes. Of course, without a doubt. Yes, we can do that. Right? Now, there are maybe 60, 70 of you in this room. How many homeless people did we take care of just now? 70 people. If each one of us says, I will take care of one person, you just took care of 70 people. And then we take it a step further and we say, you know what, I'm going to take care of one person, but I'm also going to get one of my friends, persuade him or her to take care of one more. So that's 140 people taken care of straight away. Yes or no? Same thing applies to anything. Can you solve the problem of illiteracy of a country? No, but can you send one child to school? Can you do that? Can you pay the fee for one child to go to school? I'm not saying go to some fancy school for thousands of dollars. Basic school. Can you pay the fee for one child who is not going to school, who's on the street? Can you pay the fee for that one child to go to school? Can you teach that child at home? Yes. If you globalize a problem, it becomes by definition insolvable and you also feel justified in doing nothing. But if you localize the problem, it is in your power to solve it and you can solve it. Many times we say, how can we populate our masajid? Our masajid are empty. Our masjids are empty. How can we populate the masjid? Oh, we are so helpless, we can't do that. You know the way to populate a masjid? Go to the masjid. Forget everybody else. You go. Are you going to the masjid for every salah? But you are sitting and talking about populating the masjid. What's that? Mushrooms? Go for salah. Then, next step. When I'm going, I come to my brother. Will you come with me? Of course he will come with me. He's a Muslim, mashallah. He wants to have company. We both of us drive to the masjid together. We got two people. On the way, we pick up Nabil. On the way, we pick up Salahuddin. On the way. The next thing, I buy a bus. Right? It is as simple as that. This is the point I want to say to you. It is as simple as that. I have to get up and say, I am going. That's it. Forget everybody else. Don't worry about who is coming, who is not. I am going. And as I am going, I will also talk to my friends, to my brothers, to my sisters. Do you want to come? What is the worst? The person will say, today I can't come. I'm sorry, I won't come. No problem. No problem. Tomorrow I will ask you again. Day after I will ask you again. After that I ask, until you are sick of me asking, you say, okay, I'm coming. And tell you a true story. So we landed in LA at this Tabligh Ijtema and we happened to meet a small Jamaat which came from the northwest province in Pakistan, bordering Afghanistan, right? They did not speak one word of English, nothing. So they had a translator, they actually spoke Pashto and some Urdu, and they had a translator who was doing translation. So I asked them, we were talking about, they said, how many Jamaats go out and so on. They said, they told me some humongous figure. There's so many Jamaats go out from that place every year. So I said, which place is that? I thought maybe it's one of the big cities, you know, Rawalpindi or something big. They said, no, this is a small little village. So we said, how come all these people go out from this village is so powerful, I'm so influential? They said, you know, it's a strange story. They said, the story is this. They said, we had one brother who went out with the Tabligh people. He spent some, you know, maybe a year or whatever, a few months in Tabligh, and he came back. When he came back, he started the Jawla program in his masjid. Small village, small masjid. So as you all know, we have it here as well. What do they do? One day a week, you will have somebody after the Salah, after Maghrib Salah, he will announce, brothers and sisters, after the Sunnah Salah, please stay. There will be a short talk on Iman and Yaqeen. Right? This is the standard announcement everywhere. So what happens after that? What happens after that is, even somebody who is to pray sunnah in the masjid normally will go home. And he will decide to pray sunnah in the home because that is more virtuous. Right? So this person says that when this brother came back, he did this. Sunnat ki namaz ke baad mein iman aur yaqeen ki baat hogi, sunnat padhne wala bhi gayab ho gaya. So he said after the sunnah, even the person who is to pray sunnah also disappeared. The whole masjid empty, this man is left alone. Now, what does he do? And that is the key. He said, this man, you know, in our masajid in the subcontinent, to wear a cap when you are praying is like fard. If you don't wear a cap, somebody will put a cap on your head while you are praying, and you don't know that cap has got oil in it or God knows what in it. So it's better to bring your own cap, you know. So that they do this. I mean, if you're praying without a cap, then they say your salah is invalid and you're praying without a cap. So anyway, so what they do in masjid is they have a basket full of caps, plastic caps or, you know, grass caps or something. They have caps. So what this man did was, now everybody's gone, right? He wants to talk about the greatness of Allah. Nobody wants to, they've gone. So what this man did was, he took a bunch of caps, he arranged the caps on the carpet in front. He stood up and he gave his bayan to the caps. He talked to the caps. He gave a lecture about the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to those caps. Right? Then he collected the caps, put them back in the basket. And he stood and he made salah. And now he is crying and weeping before Allah. He said, Ya Allah, this is my state. Ya Allah, I want to talk about your glory. Ya Allah, I am not asking people for anything. I want people to come to the masjid. I am talking about your glory and majesty. Ya Allah, nobody listens to me. This man says, tells us, he said, this happened week after week after week. He says, a month passed, 2 months passed, 3 months passed, 6 months passed, same routine. He will announce, there will be a talk after Sunnah on Iman and Yaqeen. He said, all of us would disappear. The man would get the caps, he would put the caps, he would stand and he would deliver the talk to the caps, then he would cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The man says, after 6 months or so, we started talking amongst ourselves in the village. And we said, why are we doing this? I mean, that man is, we know him. He is from our village, he's related to us, he's a friend of ours. Why are we doing this? This is bad. All he wants to do is talk about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what's the problem? Why are we treating him like this? This is very bad. This is bad on our part. Nobody told them. They themselves. He said people started coming. They started sitting. And he said the rest is history. Never allow what is not in your control to prevent you from doing what is in your control. It was not in the control of the man to bring the whole village to the masjid, but it was in his control to do what he could do, which is to stand and give a bayan. If there is nobody, talk to the chairs. If there is nobody, talk to the caps, talk to the air, talk to the malaika who are sitting in the masjid. You can't see them, but they are there. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave you better than the people. He gave you malaika to talk. Talk to the malaika. Don't worry about there's nobody. Who cares there's nobody? You talk to the people who are there. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. It is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open hearts. It is for Allah to bring people. Allah will bring people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, call the adhan. Ibrahim alayhi salam says, Ya Allah, who is here? There is nobody here. Allah says, that is not your problem. I will bring, I will send them. They will come on lean camels through the valleys. Your job is you call the adhan. Who is here, who is not here is not your problem. Right? Do not allow what is not in your control to prevent you from doing what is in your control. You just do what's in your control. And do it with ikhlas and niyyah. Do it only and only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody else. Only for the rida of Allah. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, He will bring the people and they will listen to you. And if Allah does not want, people will never come. You will die without that, but you will go to Jannah, inshallah. Ask yourself, what did Musab bin Umair radiallahu anhu see in terms of futuhat? Did he see anything? He accepted Islam, he lost everything, including the clothes on his body. His mother took away everything. He goes to Medina. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends him 17, 18 year old boy who lost everything. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends him to Medina to invite people to Islam. Practically every one of the big Ansar Sahaba accepted Islam at the hands of Musab ibn Umair. And then what happens? Then there is Hijrat, then there is Badr, and then in the Battle of Uhud, Musab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu is Shaheed. What did he see? What success did he see? What ghanima did he get? What victory did he see? But did he stop doing what he was doing? Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu. There are so many of the Sahaba who did not see victory, but they never gave up. They never stopped working. What is their level today? Their level today, minimum, is that we take their name and we say radiallahu anhu. And if somebody takes their name and does not say radiallahu anhu, I mean, he may have forgotten or something, but deliberately by intention. There are people like this, very stupid. Abu Bakr did this, Umar did this. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. It is their haqq that we say radiallahu anhu, radiallahu anha. Sumayya bint Khayyat radiallahu anha. What victory did she see? The first shaheed in Islam is a woman and a black woman, a black African woman. Sumayya bint Khayyat was a black African woman. She was not Arab. First shaheed. Who was stronger? Abu Jahl, who killed her? Or she who refused to give anything to Abu Bakr, to Abu Jahl? Never allow something which is not in your control to prevent you from doing what is in your control. Focus only. What is in my control, I will do. Rest of it, lillah. Let Allah deal with that. That's not my problem. I deal with what is in my control. Khalas.
and Allah will take care of the rest.
وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.